ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः तप्तकांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये हरे कृष्णा चैप्टर नंबर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 25 ऑनवर्ड्स सो लेट्स रिसाइट फ्यू वर्सेस बिफोर वी बिगिन दैवम एवा परे यज्ञम योगिनः पर्युपासते ब्रह्माग्नावपरे यज्ञम यज्ञनैवोपजुह्वति श्रोत्रादीनिन्द्रियाणि अन्ये संयमाग्निषु जुह्वति शब्दादीन् विषयानन्ये इन्द्रियाग्निषु जुह्वति सर्वानिन्द्रियकर्माणि प्राणकर्माणि चापरे आत्मसंयमयोगाग्नौ जुह्वति ज्ञानदीपिते द्रव्ययज्ञास्तपोयज्ञयज्ञास्तथापरे स्वाध्यायज्ञानयज्ञश्च यतयः संशितव्रतः अपाने जुहवति प्राणम् प्राणे अपानं तथा परे प्राणापानगतिरुद्ध्वा प्राणायामपरायणः अपरे नियतहारः प्राणान् प्राणेषु जुह्वति सर्वेपीति यज्ञविदो यज्ञक्षपितकल्मषः यज्ञशिष्टामृतभुजौ यान्ति ब्रह्म सनातनम् हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे
कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे
हरे राम
हरे राम हरे राम
राम राम हरे हरे
राम राम हरे हरे
Priyaji, you are chanting like a pro now. So perfectly. I was thinking about day one and now it just chanted perfectly. So that's what happens. Initially, it is difficult, but as you keep chanting it, it becomes much easier.
Okay.
Let me chant three more verses because then another theme I'll discuss. This is one theme. नायं लोकोऽस्ति अवज्ञस्य
लोकस्य
कुतोऽन्यः कुरु सत्तमः
कृतन्याय
एवं बहुविधा यज्ञा
करोसि
वितता ब्रह्मणो मुखे
मुखे
कर्मजान् विदितान् सर्वान्
कर्मकान् व्यक्ति तान् सर्वान्
एवं ज्ञात्वा मिमोक्ष्यसे
मोक्षसे
श्रेयं द्रव्यमयाद्यज्ञात्
द्रव्यम्
ज्ञानयज्ञः परन्तपः
ज्ञानयज्ञ परन्तपः
सर्वं कर्माखिलं पार्थ
सर्वं कर्माखिलं पार्थ
ज्ञाने परिसमाप्यते।
ज्ञानं परिसमाप्यते
So there is one particular theme that has been discussed in these verses. So in the previous verses, we were discussing how Krishna is emphasizing cultivating some sort of a reasonable detachment from the results, sacrificing the results for our actions, because the more we are attached, the more we get implicated in the laws of karma, the process of action and reaction. And only in human life we have the facility where we can rectify our karma. In other species of life, they can just live their karma. They cannot rectify their karma. So therefore, human beings, the whole process is the detachment from the material and attachment to the spiritual. And we are expected to focus on the attachment part more rather than detachment. And that means instead of focusing on things that we need to be detached from, because that could be very difficult, painful for some, and we may not even know that these are the things we need to be detached from. So instead of focusing on things that we are not supposed to do, let's learn about things which we are supposed to do and focus on that. So the path of bhakti, the path of devotional service, is not the path of detachment. Rather, it is the path of attachment. Attachment to the Lord. You have to cultivate that attachment without artificially, superficially trying to detach yourself from anything else. So as you cultivate attachment here, automatically things that we should be detached from, that will come automatically. We don't superficially try to become insensitive to anything of this world, because we don't even know something that could be good to us for our advancement in spiritual life. We think, oh, this is not good, I must be detached from this, I must be detached from this. Don't even think about those things. Bhakti is not the path of it's not an exclusive path, it's an inclusive path. Sabko saath mein leke chalna, that is bhakti. That it's not that you have to wear saffron, live in the temple, and then you can become perfect. No. The scriptures tell us wherever you are, from there you try to connect through hearing, through chanting, through remembering, through prayers. So the question is, this is the ultimate reason, because we don't belong here, we are the residents of the spiritual world. So that's why gradual cultivation, gradual detachment from anything which is material, material results is recommended. Sacrificing the results. And that sacrifice essentially also means sacrifice for a higher cause, sacrifice the results that we get out of our activities, and you try to use them in the service of the Lord, whatever profits, whatever gain we have, because that's where we belong. We are eternally connected to Him. It's like children, it's their duty to serve the parents, so the Lord is the ultimate parent of everyone. So we do have an eternal connection with Him. So now the question could be Arjuna's mind, Krishna, why are you talking about sacrifice, 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 the results? So now in this series of verses, Krishna explains how if you want to achieve something higher in life, something great, sacrifice is important. Some sort of sacrifice. And he says, look around. It's not just you I'm asking. Everybody is engaged in some sort of sacrifice to achieve something higher. And I'm just going to read through these verses because we don't need to explain everything, just the theme, therefore I'm explaining first. So anything if you want to achieve in life, some sort of sacrifice is recommended, important. And humans, because more is given, so more is expected also, because the facility is there. Imagine there is a peon and there is the government officer sitting inside his office. So the peon is not given that many facilities, so we don't expect too much from him also. But if somebody is given facilities and he doesn't live up to the responsibility, then there is a bigger reaction, greater reaction that will come. So when more is given, more is expected. So why sacrifice? And sacrifice not just for the sake of sacrificing for the pleasure of the Lord, engaging ourselves, sacrificing our time, our energy and resources to serve the Lord through whichever way we can, and that's how we get connected. The whole process of the Gita is to reconnect us back to our roots, which we have disconnected ourselves from. That's it. Or kuch nahi hai. We are just reconnecting ourselves, and the first and foremost way to reconnect is through the process of hearing. Hearing is the foundation. So, I'll just read these verses now. How even in every aspect of life, people are engaged in some sort of sacrifice. So, this sacrifice means two things here. It can also mean sacrifice of possessions, literally. And essentially, here it is. It means don't think about that sacrifice where we take it. I'm sacrificing, nothing like that. Essentially, here it means sacrifices are the duties which are given in the scriptures for every type of individual, whatever situation he may be in, he or she may be in. And duties are defined in the scriptures. And those duties are defined by the Lord, and they are based on religious principles. And when somebody engages in those duties, that those duties are known as sacrifice. Because what is the meaning of sacrifice? In Sanskrit, it is called yajna. And it is meant for the pleasure of the Yajneshwar, which is the Lord. So, we are not just expected to advance materially, we are expected to advance spiritually. We are expected to engage in such a way that simultaneously we are also making spiritual advancement along with material advancement. So these duties are defined, and if we follow those duties, if we perform those duties, then the Lord is pleased. Just like if we tell somebody do something, he does it, and we are happy, we are pleased. That opens the path for liberation. So that is the kind of sacrifice which is recommended. Any activity which is meant for a higher purpose, for the pleasure of the Lord, through which the Lord is pleased. Like this is an activity through the Lord, through which we are pleasing the Lord. So it's a sacrifice. That is called sacrifice. So some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them. And some offer sacrifices in the fire of Supreme Brahma. Then some people worship devatas. They have to sacrifice. They have to make a sacrifice. Some worship the formless aspect of God. Some unadulterated celibates sacrifice the hearing process. Because to hear also you have to sacrifice. Just like we are hearing now, we have to sacrifice everything else. So it's a divine activity. They sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. They have to sacrifice their sense gratification. And others, regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. Others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind. So mind control, sense control. Everywhere somebody who is trying to achieve something great, he is like, if somebody wants to keep good health, so he has to sacrifice, isn't it? He's trying to achieve good health, so he has to sacrifice. He doesn't have to eat fried food, he avoids sweet, and or he has to eat all these things also in limited quantity, and he has to work out. So he may have to sleep on time, get up on time. It's a very important part of good health, having a good health. If somebody wants to get good marks, he has to sacrifice, let go of his comfort, his play, his sleep, like that, as simple. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions, and others by performing severe austerities, by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. All this requires some sort of sacrifice. Still others were inclined to the process of breath restraint, to remain in trance, practice by offering the movement of the outgoing breath into the incoming, and the incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus at last remain in trance, stopping all breathing. Others, curtailing the eating process, offer the outgoing breath into itself as a sacrifice. So all kinds of austerities people perform, and through which they get purified. Any austerity which is performed, and if it is based on scriptures, it purifies the heart, it purifies the existence, it purifies the consciousness. If it is based on shastras, like many politicians also do, Amarun Anshan, they try to do, what is it called, Bhukh Hartal?
Yeah, hunger strike.
So in South India, some were caught. It was posted on Twitter. I'm not a Twitter, but I happened to see kisi ne Facebook pe dal diya tha. Those leaders who were sitting for hunger strike, before that they were sitting and having mendu vada, idli and dosa in one canteen, and somebody just clicked it and put it on Facebook. Here once Mr. Rahul Gandhi sat on hunger strike and few others, so, but before that people came to that he had eaten. So he said, no, hunger strike mein 11 baje tak kha sakte hain, uske baad shuru hota hai. So he gave his own version. And even if it's actually, generally somebody is fasting, it is not based on Shastra, it is not meant for a higher purpose. If you see, all these are meant for selfish purpose. They want to achieve something for their own self. So all these kind of sacrifices come under demonic sacrifices, where you are unnecessarily torturing yourself for some selfish motive. So this is not based on Shastra. None of these have any, and this is not going to elevate any one of these people. But anything which is on the basis of Shastra, they, now Krishna will explain how they make us advance, how they elevate us. All these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions. Just see, simply by performing these sacrifices based on scripts, one becomes cleansed of sinful reactions. Paap ka jo karma ka phal hota hai, which causes distress in life, anxiety in life, that gets destroyed if you simply follow. And having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifices, they advance toward the supreme eternal atmosphere, towards the path of liberation. Just see. So people are going to benefit in this life and the next life as well. Now, next question could be, so I'll explain these three and then we can explain this most important point. He says, and O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? Just see, why has the Lord made this system of sacrifice? Sacrifice, particularly this type and in general, so that people cultivate some virtue. Okay, if you want to be happy, make some sacrifice. That means you should learn that nothing comes cheap. Because if everything comes cheap, we take it cheaply. And the Lord wants us to work hard so that we remain grounded. Those people who get things easily in life, they are the ones who are like, really, it gets into their head, success, and then there is false pride and there is false, and they fall down. But those who get it after a lot of hard work, they value it. So the Lord wants us to value anything great you want to achieve. Okay, do this, do that. Nothing comes cheap, even though I want to share. Just like parents also have seen doing it. The children, I've seen parents being very, very strict with the children. If you want this, okay, you have to do this for an hour. And only then you get it. And that brings discipline in some. Otherwise, the best way to spoil the child is to give him whatever he wants or whenever he wants. And that's not a service. We are doing great disservice to the child. So child must learn to value whatever, if you want to have anything. Anything that comes cheap, we all take it cheaply. What to speak of children. So without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of next? Evam bahu. All these different types of sacrifices are approved by the Vedas. and all of them are born of different types of work. Knowing them as such, you will become liberated. So, anybody who does not do some sort of sacrifice, especially based on Shastra, he cannot advance towards the ultimate goal of life, human life, for which this human life has been given the title as extremely rare, Durlabh. O chastiser of the enemy, a sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Pritha, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. Now this is very important. So people do, and you will find so many people seem to be doing a lot of rituals, isn't it? They are all sacrifices, rituals, they are synonymous. But if any ritual is performed, or anything that we are doing, if it is not done with proper bhav, emotion, spirit, it has no value. So Krishna is saying here, sacrifice performed in knowledge. In knowledge means we should know why we are doing it, for whom we are doing it, what is the goal. And that goal must be clear, that it's for the pleasure of the Yageshwar, it's ultimate. Like people do Ganpati Puja, people do Durga Puja, and I have seen people, they use it to just socialize. Ganpati ji bichare ek kone mein baithe rehte hain, and the person comes and does like this, and then a whole socializing thing begins, and eating and chatting and nothing. And then maybe for as a ritual, just everybody gets up at a particular time, and most of the time it is only the family who is left. They just do little aarti and finished. Very few people do it with proper understanding. तो उसमें प्रॉब्लम नहीं है. प्रॉब्लम एक है कि द पर्सन यू आर पुटिंग इन सो मच एफर्ट एंड देन बिकॉज इट बिकम्स अ रिचुअल द एफर्ट गोज इन वेन बिकॉज देर इज नो इफेक्ट. इट्स लाइक एन एम्प्टी बुलेट. देर इज लॉट ऑफ नॉइज बट नो इफेक्ट. इट्स लाइक बॉडी विदाउट द स्पिरिट, सोल डेड. सो मच एफर्ट, वॉट इज द यूज ऑफ डेकोरेटिंग अ डेड बॉडी? सी, इफ यू हैव टू डेकोरेट, यू हैव टू डेकोरेट person who is alive, but what is the use of decorating a dead body? No use. So much effort for nothing. So anything that we do, it has to be done with proper intention, understanding. Iske liye bahut sare, whichever places, if I have to go for a satsang, sometimes people say we just want some chanting, I make sure that I speak. The only reason, it's not that ke mere ko bolne ke liye ek platform chahiye, no. Oh, so I can speak to the four walls also, not a problem. But because I realize, I know that if I don't speak, people who have come to attend, the host may not want, they may not want, but still it's my duty to let them know of the value of what we are doing. At least they should know na ke ye jo pura function ho raha hai, ye kyun kiya jaye. Kai baar host ki ichha hoti hai, ye so Prabhuji, but wo log sunenge nahi, baithenge nahi. I said, doesn't matter. एक दो उठ के चले जाएंगे कोई बात नहीं है, लेकिन हमेशा मेरा एक्सपीरियंस रहा है कि व्हेन वी स्पीक देन पीपल एक्चुअली आर इंटरेस्टेड, बिकॉज अभी तक किसी ने बताया ही नहीं. कई बार होता है भजन कीर्तन दो घंटे तक आते जाते रहते हैं लोग. लाइक वंस वन फैमिली क्लोजली कनेक्टेड टू मी, हर डॉटर ऑल्सो वॉज क्लोजली स्टिल टू अवर यूथ ग्रुप, शी गॉट मैरिड, तो दे हैड अ फंक्शन इन कोलाबा ताज. So wow. They had booked the whole, this big hall, and almost 500 people maybe. So I was one of the first one to reach. They had told me to come on time. So udhar wo se bhajan kirtan hua, and some professional guy they had called. That's it. And since I was sitting in front, so I didn't realize ke piche kya chal raha hai, side mein kya chal raha hai. But once he stopped singing at the end of 2 hours, my God. So much noise throughout. That means people have been talking. So you just see, this family puts in so much effort, they are spending so much money for nothing, for some for some musical entertainment. And the whole purpose of this whole function was to begin the celebrations with something spiritual, and it had not even a small single element of spirituality in this. Professional singers, even if they sing bhajans, they cannot do any benefit. The Lord doesn't manifest His grace through somebody who is not a devotee. It's very simple. And whoever came, they were not interested because it has become a ritual in Bombay. भी मैंने देखा है कई जगह पे कि and people think that they can talk. And as soon as satsang starts, you can start talking. ये कैसा उनको लगता है? And what is the use of putting in so much effort? And ना आपको फायदा ना उनको फायदा ना वो interested है ना. So we have to make sure that whenever we organize, there should be a speech. 10 मिनट ही हो चाहे, पर एटलीस्ट वो लोगों को जब पता चलता है वो क्यों कर रहे हैं, क्या कर रहे हैं, दे आर मोर कॉन्शियस कि अगर दिया भी घुमा रहे हैं भगवान के सामने क्यों कर रहे हैं. एंड व्हेन दे आर कॉन्शियस दे गेट मैक्सिमम बेनिफिट. अगर कोई बताएगा ही नहीं तो कैसे पता चलेगा? सो बट व्हेन दे आर डूइंग कॉन्शियसली देन द बेनिफिट्स आर मच मोर. So that's what Krishna is saying. Sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than mere sacrifice of material possessions. And such sacrifices, Krishna says, after all, O son of Pritha, Pritha is Kunti Devi, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. That means if we perform all these activities based on Shastra, sacrifices related to our situation in life, then ultimately what will happen is they will culminate in knowledge. Like whatever we are speaking now from the Gita or any scripture, it's 100% true. But they may not be making, I mean, there is something called theory and something called realization. Realization may not be there, but we know by theory. This is true. But for that realization to come, we have to apply this knowledge. Then realization will come. And when the realization comes, our faith will grow. So, all these sacrifices, if we perform, and if they are based on Shastra, I'll come to the point which sacrifice we have to be performing now, is sab mein kaun sa hamara hai, then what happens? They take us to the platform of knowledge. Because the heart gets purified, we are the souls, and the soul has three characteristics. It is knowledgeable, it is eternal, it is full of bliss. But it's all forgotten. So knowledge is one of the aspects of the soul. We are knowledgeable, but it's covered. But when the heart gets purified by engaging in some scripture-based sacrifice or process, then we come to understand, oh, I am actually a spirit soul. I am a spiritual being. I have a connection with God. I must serve Him. So somebody comes to that knowledge after the heart gets purified to some extent. So all these sacrifices gradually purify the heart of the performer. And the more purified we become, the more we understand our relation with the Lord. The more impure our heart is, the more we do not understand. So all sacrifices eventually, then Krishna says, will culminate in transcendental knowledge, divine knowledge, not mundane knowledge, transcendental knowledge, which is beyond mundane. And that is, I am a part and parcel of God. I must serve Him. I must remain connected. How can I revive that relationship? So all these rituals, third chapter maybe we had discussed, are only meant to gradually purify our heart and bring us to a certain level. So all these sacrifices will culminate in this knowledge. And now to advance further, once we realize I need this guidance, I am a spiritual, how do I advance further? What should I do now? Then the greatest sacrifice is needed. And that sacrifice has been spoken about by Krishna in the next verse. Let's chant this. Tadvidhi pranipatena.
Tadvidhi paripratipatena.
Pariprashnena sevaya.
Pariprashnena sevaya.
Upadekshanti te jnanam.
Upadekshanti te
jnanam. Jnaninas tattva darshinaha. ओके, विल चैंट टू मोर वर्स. यज्ञात्वा न पुनर्मोहम् एवं यास्यसि पांडवा येन भूतानि अशेषानि द्रक्ष्यसि आत्मनि अथो महि अपि चेदसि पापेभ्यः सर्वेभ्यः पापकृत्तमः
सर्वे पाप कृतवः
सर्वं ज्ञान प्लवेनैव
सर्वं ज्ञान प्लवेनैव
वृजिनं संतरिष्यसि
वृजिनं संतरिष्यसि.
ओके सो And what is that greatest sacrifice one has to make after one has realized that one needs that guidance now? One has to make a sacrifice of the false ego by this process. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So, three steps. If somebody wants to advance in spiritual life, wants to know further, he has to follow these three steps. And unless somebody follows these three steps, he cannot advance, he cannot understand God simply by Googling or Wikipedia or WhatsApp or here and there. One has to follow these three steps. First step is approaching a bona fide guru, a bona fide spiritual master, a bona fide representative of God. Second step is we have to inquire from him submissively. This is the key. So when we go in front of the guru, we have to leave everything behind. Our mind, our shoes, and our designation, I am so and so. Because one has to humble himself. False ego only the guru can purify, and that we have to allow him to purify by voluntarily taking shelter. So this is the second step, inquiring, and not just this, not just humbling, but humbly inquiring from him, not in a challenging mood, inquiring submissively. All the doubts, even if you have 20,000 questions in a day, we have the right to ask our spiritual master. Keep asking. So submissively. So one is approach a bona fide guru. Second step, inquire from him submissively. And number three, also render service to him in return. Because when we render service to the spiritual master in return, then the knowledge that we have received from him gets digested fully by menial service. And because otherwise there could be indigestion. These three steps one has to follow, and one has to serve, one has to inquire from him submissively, and one also approach him. So three steps, and this way we can gain transcendental knowledge further. And what happens when we gain such knowledge? Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. If we are fortunate enough to come across a bona fide guru, then we must know that it is the beginning of the end of our material existence. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but parts of the Supreme, or in other words, they are mine. Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries easily. Ignorance is the greatest enemy and knowledge is the greatest friend. It never leaves us. Nobody can steal it. So the best friend, the greatest friend is knowledge. So therefore the greatest charity is that of knowledge. The greatest need of the hour is knowledge. Why people are confused, why people are ending up doing things which they shouldn't be doing, why there is so much chaos in society? Because there is lack of genuine knowledge in society. So knowledge milega, automatically will do. Right, and we all have to play our part in that. So one important point which I forgot to mention. Okay, let me just finish it, because in the last few verses only Krishna has glorified the path of knowledge. How it is so helpful. In this world there is nothing. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. Because now we know what is to be done, what is not to be done. And knowledge also means application. So it says we have to do certain things, we have to avoid certain things. If somebody is sick, he has to follow the direction of the doctor, do's and don'ts. So the knowledge will give us that. Do this and don't do this. So that way, the patient, just like he gets cured, we also get cured of all the sources of miseries. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Very important point. So, Krishna has explained about various kinds of sacrifices, isn't it? Ye karo, wo karo, and we might be thinking, Baba, but which one am I supposed to do? It's not difficult hai. So, it is difficult to come to that stage where we actually realize and then we come to a Guru. But here Krishna is giving us that hope. He said, but those who are engaged in my devotional service, they don't have to make a separate endeavor to gain this knowledge. It automatically manifests in due course of time in them. So there is a nice verse, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahetukam. If somebody engages in the devotional service of the Lord, two things automatically happen. He gets causeless knowledge, and he also gets causeless detachment from these things, which are not good for him, automatically. So, as I said, bhakti is like one arrow with which you can accomplish everything, hit the target. Knowledge, detachment, everything will follow. And what is bhakti in today's day and age? Or let's go back. What is the kind of sacrifice that we need to perform today? There's only one sacrifice recommended in this Kali Yuga. In the Bhagavatam, there is a shloka. Kaler doshe nidhe rajan asti hi eko mahan gunaha kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangaha param vrajet. It means that this age of Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Nidhi means ocean. But there is one great quality. Kirtanadeva Krishna. So simply by chanting or singing Krishna's names, everyone can achieve perfection of life. Simply by the simplest process. So one does not have to go through these austere processes where success is not guaranteed. If we can simply incorporate this one practice, regularly chant His holy names. And that is the only sacrifice or yajna recommended for Kali Yuga. And that's what we should do. We don't worry about anything else. That will lead us to perfection. Just wherever we are, just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just chanting and adding this process to our life. Not giving up anything, but just adding this dimension and see the wonderful magic that manifests. Automatically, if you follow this process, because this is part of devotional service, this is the supreme spiritual or devotional practice, automatically all the knowledge will manifest within you in due course of time, as Krishna has promised here in text number 38. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. What will this knowledge do to us? It will lead us to peace. And everybody wants pieces. No, sorry, yeah. Not pieces. Everyone wants peace. Everybody is already into pieces. Now yeah. We want peace. So this knowledge will ultimately lead to peace. Not mundane knowledge, but this kind of knowledge. Divine knowledge. But what happens to those who doubt this knowledge? What happens to those who do not believe in the scriptural injunctions? Krishna is saying, the supreme authority, Agyascha Shradhanascha Samshayatma Vinashiti Nayam Loko Asti Naparo Nasukham Samshayatmanaha. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. So what is the important thing here? Pishle verse mein Krishna has spoken, faith. Do it with faith. Even if it doesn't make sense, have faith. It is coming from Shastra, it has to be true. They fall down for the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. And the last two verses, one who acts in devotional service, now he summarizes everything, whatever he's spoken. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self, that he is not bound by the reactions of work, O conqueror of the riches. That means he proceeds on the path of liberation. And tasyam tasmad agyana sambhutam pritstham jnana sinatmanah chitvainam samshayam yogam atishtottishta bharata. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. So, Arjuna's occupation is fight. So, Krishna is telling, armed with this knowledge, now you do your duty to fight. So, in our case, it means Krishna is saying, don't just keep working. There is two types of work, work in ignorance and work in knowledge. He says, get this knowledge and then work. So that means we have to have this knowledge and we have to hear from the scriptures, and then guided by this we must act. In the previous yugas, the kings were the rulers, influencers you can say, and they would rule, but they would always have their gurus by their side who knew scriptures. So the gurus would give vision and the kings would execute. So everyone who is in a influential position must have this knowledge to get clarity about what is right, what is wrong, seeing the bigger picture, not right and wrong according to the popular opinion. And then with that, we must keep working in this world. Nowhere Krishna says give up work. He says, armed with this knowledge, you keep working, but have this knowledge. That's what is being discussed, that it's important to give our time to hearing, to acquiring this knowledge, and then when we work in this world, we are not bound by karma. We become rather free from the bondage of karma. We become free from the cycle of birth and death. We become free from the transmigration of the soul, and essentially we become happy. We become peaceful. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Stop here.